You're listening to a podcast from 702.
25 minutes before 11 o'clock. I told you that we're going to do something similar to what we did just before elections, where we brought political party leaders to come and answer questions from listeners about their manifestos, right? Now that the mayors have been elected, I think we're going to spend the next couple of weeks, probably the next 3 or 4 weeks, bringing some of them on the radio to take questions from you as listeners. You may have voted for them, you may not have voted for them, but they are the mayors in the different metros. So today we start with the mayor of Johannesburg, Dr. Mpho Phalatse, especially following that governance workshop that the DA mayors had on Friday, mapping out their priorities. And this is a conversation between the mayor and you. I'm just here to facilitate the discussion. So any question you have for the mayor, you can start calling us 011-883-0702. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice note, you can send it on 072-702-1702. Dr. Mpho Phalatse, congratulations and thank you for making time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I believe it's the first time we're chatting after my election last week. It's been a week and it's been interesting.
Yeah, and I think the last time we spoke, I said to you, incoming Mayor Dr. Mpho Phalatse, we're broadcasting from Alex. I don't know if you remember that. And I said to you, should I be calling you incoming? And look at where we are now.
And I said to you, I'm going to speak it. Yeah, I know. There definitely is power in the spoken word. So many people called me that, and now they have it. It's happened. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be taking questions, Mayor, from our listeners on the WhatsApp line. Some of them are calling on 011-883-0702. So I'm going to get straight to those calls shortly. But just tell me, how has it been so far? How much groundwork have you covered over the last, 2 weeks?
It's only been a week, so we had council last Monday, so it's exactly 1 week today, and it's been very busy. You must remember that I'm alone. I don't have a mayoral committee as yet, so I'm the only political leader in the city besides the speaker and the chief whip, and that's been quite demanding on me. I'm fielding things left, right, and center. I mean, I've been dealing with electricity issues, Eskom protests, illegal connections, all kinds of things you can think of, over and above engaging the media and allowing the space, the residents to engage me like what we're doing now. So it's been a very delicate balance between me being in the office, doing handovers, engaging with the city manager, the administration, engaging residents through the media, and also sorting out resident issues on the ground.
Yeah. Okay. So we've brought you to engage directly with the residents here in Johannesburg. So 011-883-0702, that's the number to dial. Let's start with this question, Mayor, from one of our listeners who's asking, Clement, please can you ask the mayor how she's going to be dealing with the issue of human settlements? I voted for the DA because I've been on the waiting list to get a house since 1999.
Yeah. There's a lot of such cases in Johannesburg, many, many cases. I was in Alex last week, and almost all the questions that were asked were around housing and applications, and people have been on the list for so long. The problem with the housing waiting list is that even in 2016, when we arrived at the city back then, the housing list was already in excess of 300,000 of people waiting for free housing from government. And what we soon realize is that government is not in a position to provide those houses. They don't have the resources to do so. And that decision hasn't changed. We will be changing direction. We'll be very honest and transparent with residents. What I'm saying is let's not even keep our hopes high. You know, where that list is concerned. First of all, this list is not even transparent. Even us as the city have not had sight of that list. We would have loved for it to be made transparent so that we can also prevent corruption, because we've had many allegations of corruption with the allocation of housing using that list. What we will be looking at doing going forward is a more affordable ways, a more realistic ways of providing housing to our people, including giving people service stands. Many are so welcoming of the idea of being given a stand with water, electricity, and a toilet and building their own house. And we will be driving that, and I hope to start even in the 100 days. However, We'll also be partnering a lot with the private sector to look at innovative solutions to providing housing. And the other options we offer now, in the sense of rental options, rent to buy and low rental options in mixed use and mixed development properties. But now we also need to invite the private sector on board, because there's so much that can be done in the construction and development space that we've not explored as a municipality. And I don't want to go too much into detail, although I've had some proposals already. We will be making some announcements in the 100 days, because I'd like us to start piloting some of these innovations, which will help us meet the need on the one hand, but it will also help us resolve other challenges that we have, for instance, the energy crisis. So we're very excited about what's happening in that space, and soon we'll give more detail.
All right, let's take more questions now. Madula, you're calling from the Johannesburg CBD. What do you want to ask the mayor?
Hello, Greg, Clement. Clement, what I need to ask from the mayor, we're having problems with people who are fixing cars on the roadside, you know? That will never bring business to the CBD. Because all what is happening, these guys, they take their motor out of the garages and then they put them on the street. Nobody's supposed to pass their route, you know? I want to know to the mayor, are they going to introduce something to get rid of this, maybe parking meters or whatever? I don't know. I'm asking that.
All right, Madula in the Johannesburg CBD, thanks for your question. Mayor?
Please repeat the question. I didn't hear very clearly. Was it about car guards?
Yeah, so no. Madula is raising an issue around public parking spaces. He says sometimes people who fix vehicles bring out their motors outside, and he wants to know if you will be introducing some parking meters or something to deal with the public parking spaces in the Johannesburg CBD.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, something like the introduction of parking meters is not a unilateral decision that I can make. I think it would need to be a resolution of council, because it's got many implications. I think it's been done before and then it was stopped. You know, so there's obviously contention around which direction we should be taking as a city. But what I do know is that nobody is allowed to park a car on the side of the road without fixing it. So that's actually an extension of our bylaws. And we will be strengthening bylaw enforcement through capacitation of the bylaw enforcement units. But we'll also be introducing other specialized units so that we will be more effective in doing our bylaw enforcement. And of course, that will be some of the things that we've been looking at.
All right, let's go to the voice notes now, and I'll go back to the lines. 0727021702.
Morning, Clemente. My question to the mayor: there is a problem of cleanliness. The city is very dirty. Everywhere it's a saloony. They brine something meat there at the street. There is no paving at Joburg. So I want to know, are you going to clean the Joburg or not? I want to know that, please.
Mayor, what's your plan to clean the CBD?
So if we're focusing specifically on the CBD, for instance, the Joburg inner city, you know, there's many CBDs in Joburg, but if we look at the inner city region F, we need to first start by profiling who is in the inner city. So you've got residents on the one hand, you've got retailers on the other hand, you've got informal traders, and you've got people living and working on the street. I think once you understand who is there, then you're able to support them through proper infrastructure that will enable them to obey the bylaws of the city. So first of all, you need to ask yourself, are there adequate bins in the city? Are there adequate ablution facilities in the city? If you don't even have that in place, it becomes unreasonable to expect people to do the right thing. But what we also need to do is, of course, the culture change and behavior change, which we will drive through education and awareness of various other programs. With our informal traders in particular, they need proper structures to work, and those structures will have to also be capacitated with waste bins, ablution facilities, and whatever else they need to operate properly. People living on the street also need shelters, they need safe spaces. There's already a plan in place which we had started working on in 2019. We'll be picking up on that and making sure we implement. But over and above that, streets need to be cleaned by city employees who are brought in to do exactly that. I mean, if you ever been to Cape Town, you'll see you wake up in the morning, the streets are clean. You can see cleaning happens even at night. So those are the kinds of interventions we will need to bring in, looking at shifts with regards to the cleaning of streets, so that whatever time of day or night, our city looks clean.
Yeah. Buhle, you're calling us from Pretoria. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. Hi, Mayor.
Sure, Buhle, go ahead.
Yes. So I'm a Joburger and I've been living there for quite some years. And I just wanted to ask the mayor what she is going to do about the problem of drug addicted youth. Specifically, they're addicted to Nyaupe and they are flooding our streets, and it's really a huge, huge problem. So I would like to ask her how she's going to address that issue. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Buhle. Dr. Palatse, drug-addicted youth, how are you dealing with that?
So this is, again, one of the programs which I rolled out as an NMC for Health and Social Development. When I came to the city in 2016, we only had one substance abuse treatment facility. It was a 12-bed for teenage boys, which we immediately started expanding to a 54-bed, and we made it co-ed so ladies can go there as well. But we also started conceptualizing a model that's more effective. With inpatient care, unfortunately, we always have bed capacity issues where, you know, you can only see so many people at a time, and you have to wait for discharges before you can pick in the next person. So we explored the use of an outpatient model. We undertook a study trip to Cape Town, which already had some matrix clinics, which are outpatient clinics linked to their primary healthcare facilities, and we started rolling that out in Joburg. We started in Glyde, in Soweto, we went to Eldorado Park, to Bed Park in the inner city, Alexandra, and Leslie. I believe that the two that we had planned when we lost the city in 2019 also will be open soon. So we should be having about 7. And we identified a hospice in Forty, which we started renovating to turn it into an inpatient center for females. But all I'm talking about is harm reduction. Now, the other challenge with harm reduction is that we criminalized drug use. And I'm quite happy to hear at a national level that we're starting to talk about decriminalizing use. We must definitely criminalize supply, that people who use drugs are actually, they have a disease and they need help, you know. Mm. And the more we criminalize it, the less we're going to be able to assist them, because they will run away from the system. But also, when you look at substance use, you need to also look at the supply chain. So what we did also is we established a K-9 unit within JMPD to deal with drug busting, and they were supposed to work with the SAPs, the Hawks, and whichever other law enforcement agencies to curb supply. But you also need to then look at demand reduction, and that is, it requires a holistic approach where you have to give people jobs, get people off the streets, get young people into community development centers and all kinds of programs, get them into varsity and school. So that requires a more holistic approach. And we had great partnerships, for instance, with UJ, who took our third graduates through a career guidance program, you know, and we helped them put together CVs and we exposed them to opportunities in the city. We would like to expand our partnership network so that we have more opportunities to offer to people who want to stop using.
All right, let's listen to the voice notes that have come through the WhatsApp line.
Yes, how is she going to deal with the illegal foreigners in this country, like in Joburg, because really Joburg is overpopulated. It's all people from outside the country, especially the illegal ones. How is she going to deal with that? Thank you.
Mr. Manyatela, can you please ask the mayor, when are they going to fix stormwater drains? Our streets are flooding. When are they fixing stormwater drains? When are they doing maintenance on stormwater drains? A simple thing as maintaining stormwater drains.
All right, thank you for your questions. Mayor, the issue on fixing stormwater drains and illegal foreigners.
Let's start with illegal undocumented migrants. So the issue of migration is a complex issue. Number one, I will start by saying that we believe in migration for development. So we do believe that people should move. We believe in skills transfer, you know, we believe in bringing in scarce skills into the country to help us run the country and develop the country. We also believe South Africans can do the same. So migration as a global phenomenon is not a negative thing. The problem South Africa is that our home affairs has for many years let us down, and we've not been able to regularize the migration space so that it's done legally. And that we know at any given point exactly who is in the country and what they are doing in the country. And that's what we need to sort out, and we will continue doing that in partnership with the Home Affairs, understanding that the city does not have a mandate in regularizing, that we can partner with Home Affairs. We've got in the city of Joburg 7 migrant help desks. These are our help desks for people who say, I'm in the city, I'm not from here, I need help. Whether they need help being regularized, whether they need help going back home. Because remember, there's also many who are stuck in the country. They want to go back, but they don't have the means to go back. I had a meeting during the campaign with the head of the diplomat in Pretoria to discuss a strategy towards dealing with undocumented migrants. And they're quite keen to partner with us. They're already doing a lot of work with the Home Affairs to profile undocumented migrants. The ones who want to be repatriated, that don't have means to go home, are being assisted to go back home, for instance. But there's also the ones who've been trafficked, for instance, into the country under false pretenses of getting a job or transiting through South Africa to Canada or Australia, and they're left with nothing and nobody. And so those ones, again, need to be rescued and they need to be taken back home. The ones who are genuine asylum seekers, who need to be processed for consideration for refugee status, those also need to be assisted through the Home Affairs. And the ones who are here to work or to bring skills, we need to make sure that they're also documented. So it's very important not to have a blanket approach when we talk about undocumented migrants. And the ones who are engaged in criminal activities must be dealt with through the criminal justice system. So that will be the approach, a very sober approach, understanding that there's different types. And then some really do want to go back, and they need to be assisted, and they should not be victimized.
Yeah. And did you ask the one about the storm water drains?
Well, yes. I mean, I didn't answer that.
Yeah, please.
That's just a question of getting our governance systems in place. I mean, we do know that there are entities in the city that are not doing the bare minimum that they've been brought in to do. So we will be looking at who is in positions. Is it people who are fit for purpose? People who are not fit for purpose will be performance managed out of the system. But where we have entities who also get away with not delivering their services to the city, we will also look at strengthening contracts with those entities to eliminate that kind of behavior. If you look at stormwater drains that get blocked, they get blocked because of different things, including bylaw infringement. One of the things what we spoke about earlier, where a person will be fixing their road, I mean their car on the side of the road, and they throw things in there and they block them. So we need to strengthen bylaw enforcement as well to stop, prevent some of these activities that end up leading to our drains being blocked. But yes, those drains that are blocked need to be identified and they need to be sorted ASAP.
Yeah. All right. Let's take more questions now. Eric, you are calling us from Orange Farm. What question do you have for the mayor?
Yes, Clement, how are you?
Shap, how's it going?
First, thanks. First time caller here, 702. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Oh, welcome. We're happy to take your call.
Cool. I just want to talk about the squatter. There is a biggest problem here in Orange Farm, Pine Town, Majasana, which is Willis Farm, Loli. I just want to know, my sister, how is she going to sort out this one? Because the biggest problem why we're having so many squatters, if you guys, government, if you give people stand with water, electricity, and people build their own two rooms, whatever, maybe it's going to sort out this problem. Because what is going to happen? If you come and try to remove these people who squatted now, there will be a big fight. But I just want to know what is the plan with the new mayor to solve this problem.
All right. Eric in Orange Farm, thanks for that. Let's also take these two voice notes.
Can you ask the mayor if is she going to insource the workers at the municipalities, especially the cleaners, security, gardeners, and other people who are on contracts? And my second question, is the mayor going to cancel all the deaths in Soweto, especially those who are owing Eskom? Thank you.
All right, thank you for your questions, Dr. Palatse. Three questions there. One on insourcing of employees in the city, in the metro. There's a question about electricity and whether you're going to be cancelling the debt in Soweto. This was a promise by the ANC. Then the last question, squatter camps in places like Orange Farm. How are you dealing with those?
Okay, thank you. Let's start with the informal settlement. So the city of Joburg has over 200 informal settlements. Not sure the exact number right now. But, you know, because of land grab that happened undeterred, we're now sitting with that amount of informal settlements. Now, the negative thing about informal settlements is that they go ahead of the city in terms of development planning, and often they find themselves, A, far away from opportunities, B, in areas where they don't have access to services such as water, electricity, and proper sanitation. But they exist. And so what we need to do going forward is we need to do an assessment of which settlements need to be upgraded. Those that exist in an area where it is safe for people, it is livable, we will support them by doing upgrades, giving them the infrastructure they need so that they can have normal lives and have their dignity given back to them. And of course, we look at a more permanent housing solution for those residents. However, there are those that are situated in areas that are dangerous. They pose a danger to their health, whether along a flood line or under electricity pylons. Those ones we cannot, unfortunately, encourage, and we cannot develop as a metro. We would be very irresponsible to do that, because should people die, then we would be liable. So we will be assessing and we will be making decisions as such. Let me talk about the debt in Soweto. The debt in Soweto is Eskom debt. Eskom is a state-owned entity. It is not a municipal entity. Therefore, the city does not have jurisdiction to write off Eskom debt. That can only happen if we allow the city to inherit the debt in the takeover of Eskom supply areas. Now, our position has been very clear that that debt is a result of Eskom inefficiencies over the years, allowing people to consume electricity without paying for it and not having a long-term plan. And we now see them cutting people off. And we're having protests. I mean, we had protests this past weekend as well because of that. And what we're saying is Treasury and Eskom need to work out what to do with those debts. We should not involve the city in that. The city is interested in taking over those areas, but we will not inherit that debt, number one. Number two, we want Eskom to also sort out the infrastructure,
okay,
because the city already has such a backlog. And so that we don't inherit that broken down infrastructure.
Yeah, and lastly, on insourcing of employees?
So the issue of insourcing is, again, a contentious one. I think insourcing, in principle, is a good thing, you know, to bring people in and give them dignity and give them benefits that they would not ordinarily have if they worked for private companies. But the thing with it is it's got to be done properly. And we saw how it was done the last time, that there were lots of issues, particularly in the security space, where we started seeing a rise in break-ins after the insourcing was done because it was rushed and we didn't really count the cost of doing it. So should we do it going forward, it will have to be done properly. We have to really understand what needs to go into that process so that people have tools of trade and that we never have any gaps in the system for things.
But you have an opportunity to do it properly. Are you looking into that?
Yes, no.
Okay.
Remember now, let me say this, that we are working on forming a multi-party coalition government. And what that means is we will then need to take inputs from different political parties who may want to approach things differently. We know there are some parties that are for insourcing, so we'll need to entertain it, but with those conditions that it be done well.
Yeah, we are out of time, Dr. Mpho Palatse. Thank you so much for coming through and answering questions from some of our listeners. That's the mayor of Johannesburg.